First of all, welcome everyone to the Monday, November 30th Finance Committee meeting. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Grendel?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Paverka?
Here.
Very good. The committee is all present. All of council is present. I wanted to, before we get going, to go over, you did send us three documents on Friday.
Correct.
I think the engineering inspection planning contracts that were approved for the last 4 years, I believe. And you sent us the revised draft of the 2021 operating budget that we're working on. And then you also sent us a draft of the five-year capital improvement plan. And what I took to heart, I really enjoyed, you gave us kind of like a roadmap on your I guess 3:38 p.m. Email to us, which talked about how much money we have approximately. You said that in 2018 and 2019, there's between $17 and $18 million that was available for debt service and capital infrastructure and operating expenses, after operating expenses were paid, I should say. So then we could take that to heart as far as if we increase the operating budget, that will reduce the amount available for our capital infrastructure. And I think you said there's $3 million available, or $3 million that we should keep aside for debt service.
Correct. Yeah, the number's a little bit under there, but if you're around that 2.8 million to three, it just covers us and gives some cushion there.
And then you also said that departmental capital purchases will require at least $2 million of that total. So that would approximately leave us maybe about 10 to 11 million that we'd have available for these maintenance contracts, and then other projects that we would use, you know, residential streets and or Ukrainian commercial streets and TIP projects and other emergency, other engineering projects.
Correct. And I didn't want the email to get too long and complicated and technical, but there's a little asterisk there too. And I guess what wasn't said, I'll say now, is that that assumes that council and the mayor desire to spend in 2021 on capital and infrastructure approximately what we all collectively think is going to be available through 2021's financial performance. If council desires to use current cash on hand, that would be able to increase the amount of money that could be spent on capital and infrastructure. And if council and the mayor had an opportunity and wished to borrow money, of course, then that number, that $10-11 million range could go up from there. But I tried to just give a number, assuming that we wanted to kind of leave the cash intact as much as possible and did not want to go down the path of borrowing quite yet.
Well, I think that's excellent. It gives us, council, the committee members, and all of council, kind of like an idea in our minds of what we have available. And so we don't, you know, just spend willy-nilly. We keep within that parameters. And if we wish to go outside and use cash, we know, like I said, we know what the framework is that we're working. Any comments from council? I found that very, very helpful in looking through, you know, the five-year plan and also, you know, hearing out what Jessica has in store and the mayor, Chris, the engineering department. We already have an idea what they're looking at, service department. That, so it gives us a good framework. So now we know we're not just theoretically talking about figures. We know what pot we're taking from and what we have.
Yeah, we still have nothing.
Thank you very much. At least I know one person.
And I found it interesting. I hope council did too.
I agree with you, Dave. That's why last week I sent a request over to Vern asking if he could give us some outline, because we've been focusing so much on what the needs and wants are, and I think we needed to counterbalance that by a better understanding of what we might have available. And I think it was very helpful, Vern, that you did that. Thank you.
Well, that was a great question you asked, so that's what precipitated it.
Correct.
Well, that really helped, because this way now we could prioritize, and as far as
you know what, let me send you over to the building department, and they will be able to answer your question. Hold on,
please. Let's see what we have on our regular infrastructure expenditures and everything, too. So without further ado, I think you did send us the new operating budget. Now, I think it's gone to 16 pages. And I believe you added a couple of things, Vern, if you could just, I think on the, you added the police pension cost, which wasn't there before on page one.
Correct, yeah, if you look on page one, right under OPERS, OPERS is all the non-police officers that are under the Ohio Public Employees Retirement System. But the question was asked when we were reviewing the pension or the police budget a couple of weeks ago about the total cost of the police pension. And so that's why you see it starts instead of with 110. 110 signifies it's a general fund account. It starts with 850, it's its own fund, but for purpose of discussion here, it's not a problem to place it there where it's placed so that council gets a better idea of the total cost of the police department budget. And yeah, by adding that line in it and a couple others, it made the police department budget go over to page two there. But yep, you could see that it's more so than a $5 million department, $5.5 million department. It's really over a $6 million department because that police pension cost is a significant part of the annual operating cost.
Yeah, that gives us a better idea. It kind of appropriately puts it in the right category. And I think the other one was on economic development, which will lead into Jessica talking to us. But what page was the economic development again on...
On my version now, it's page 12.
Page 12, okay, that's...
Page 11 ends with building and engineering, and page 12 right. With economic development.
And I see that change really comes in both where the promotion is and also with wages. Did that change because we had that one position, we didn't know where really to place it, I don't know
The mayor and Ms. Heiser are on the line today to explain what they're proposing in this version versus what was proposed in the first version.
Very good. Well, then we'll go on and Jessica, if you, I don't know if you or the mayor want to lead in with that topic then.
Sure. Yes. What we ended up doing is the original budget that we proposed was the $763,000 budget. We've reduced that by about $250,000. And those cuts namely come from moving the GIS position, moving that from the Economic Development Department. I believe that's been moved to the Engineering Department. And then the rest of the cuts have come from the Promotion Department. You guys asked me to kind of prioritize some of the workload that we were attempting to do for 2021. And in that, we've moved we've eliminated updating our zoning code and moved that to possibly program year 2022 or later, which reduced the budget by $105,000. And then some of the other areas that we reduced, about $25,000 from printing and graphic design, and then the reduction of some promotion, which would be social media buys, geofencing, by $15,000. And again, that reduced the budget by about $250,000.
I see. And again, now that we know how much we have, I mean, we can prioritize, if council so chooses, and I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth, but we wanted to add a couple of those things in if we decide to subtract elsewhere. We know now that we do have flexibility in that, but... knowing what we have to work, but that gives a good explanation, Jessica. And you can live with that. What you propose here now, you'd be
yes.
able to.
And that still does include, you know, we've got tomorrow our Economic Development Committee meeting where we'll be talking more about the branding and wayfinding. And so this budget does include those two items in here. And should we decide to not move forward with those in 2021, then that would obviously be reflected in this budget as well.
I see. On a side with the weather, was there going to be from those companies, were they going to do a presentation to council tomorrow?
Yes, they're going to be available via Zoom.
I see. So they won't be affected by the weather
yeah.
that as far as, okay, good.
Yeah, I understand there's even no snow days with schools anymore because instead of a snow day, now it's a virtual day.
Yeah. Pretty soon this will be, so we can stay in our home and bring food and everything. We won't have even to see anybody. They just wait from our window.
Actually, Vice Mayor, we had a meeting today about downtown, and we have a place for you. You're going to be all set. So.
Oh, very good. Oh, just a window I can wave out there, thumbs up or thumbs down.
He didn't know he was moving.
Yeah. well, retirement is getting near. I don't know how near. But no, that that explains everything. So was there anything else, Vern, that you wanted to discuss before we get back into the finishing the...
Yeah, to be clear, that the 70,000 was the GIS position was taken out of the economic development, but the version you have, we, because of Thursday being a holiday and Friday it was minimal staff, we don't have that 70,000 added into the engineering department yet. So the overall budget from the last version of this version will go down because of the money taken out of promotions, but it's not going to go down by 250,000 because we still have to add the $70,000 GIS position into the wages in engineering on page 11.
So that'll increase the engineering up to about what, 1,200,000?
Correct. That wage line will go from 718 to almost 790.
Okay. See, and of course, the OPRs will go up too, and health insurance.
Correct.
So, council, we'll have to keep that in mind when we're going over, along with the five-year capital plan too. If we so choose to hire this person, then we have to be a little more judicial, maybe on our five-year expansion for the coming year. So that's the only change, Vern. The only change you see that still has to be made is with the engineering department line items.
Correct. After that, we're just ready to jump down to general government on page 14 and a couple lines on 15. And then, unless we want to do the mayor's court first, since that's a
small question. I had a question before we leave economic development. With that promotion line item, can that be further subdivided into, like, is there a certain amount included in that figure for downtown independence project related stuff versus general city economic development promotion? Is there some dollar amount in that promotion line for the middle school property? If so, how much is it?
We haven't subdivided it, and I think that's some of the consideration that I put into those numbers, is that it's going to have to include some of the work that we need to do for downtown, but we haven't subdivided it because we don't know yet what actually needs to be done.
Okay, and it is, we're looking at a 400% increase over what the actual 2019 expenses were in that line item. So we're going from 2019's actual 263,000 to 278,000 in 2021.
There was also a 3-month window where there was nobody in this position.
Well, you can look at the trends in the promotion line though and see, you can see or no, in 2019 was still higher than the three previous years. It's just, that's a big increase. I was wondering if there's any way that we're going to have to quantify that going forward between what's we're agreeing to here. What's general promotion for the, you know, it's called the business district of Rockside Road versus that specific project of downtown independence. I just would have thought with a, you know, that big a dollar amount, we ought to be putting a little tighter parameters around it.
I do notice what the expenditure and promotion so far is $25,500, and we had $83,000 budgeted.
Right.
I think some of that money came though from a previous purchase agreement that was our PO that was opened in 2019.
And I would caution council to be is that this 2020 has been a bizarre year all around in terms of some of the budget line items. So I understand what you're saying about 19, but it was hard to put a handle on everything. We're moving forward though, looking forward to 2021 with a more robust agenda and going after our business community in a more robust fashion.
Well then, Vern, did you any other questions from council before we move on? Want to take mayor's court then, Vern, on page 16?
Sure. Your pleasure. That's the shorter one of the two we still have to do. Yeah, Mayor's Court, top of page 16 on your current version, and Mayor can explain some of the court dynamics that have occurred this year, but one of the departments that are proposing less operating funds in 2021 that weren't approved in 2019 and even 2018 and 2017, 2016, actually, all their actuals, because of some personnel shifting that has taken and is taking place there.
It looks like what, we reduced one person from the mayor's court then?
Yes.
I see. Is that a position that was eliminated, Mayor, or was that just...
No, we shifted people to different areas of responsibility, but with this entire COVID situation allowed us some flexibility in the courts, and we took advantage of that and moved people to the service department and try to keep people active and keep them productive when the courts were... the court's revenue and the need was diminished.
That makes sense, yeah. And so we're budgeting about $50,000 less in 2021 as opposed to 2020.
Correct.
And actually reflects really what 2020 final one will probably come in at.
Yeah, 10 months, $30,000 a month. Yeah, it could be a little bit higher than the 2021 proposed, but we should be under the 2020 approved budget to date.
And how is Garfield Heights, are they handling things virtually too, or they're actually having in-person hearings?
Well, for the longest time, they were virtual.
Mm-hmm.
I know a number of cases that we participated in were virtual.
I see.
I can't tell you today what it is today.
I get a sense from listening to Debbie speak, Judge Nicastro, at the Kiwanis meetings that they may still be in the virtual mode. That's the sense I get from her remark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Very good. Any other questions on the mayor's court part of the budget? Okay, we'll head back to page 14. Oh, yes, Jim.
There seemed to be a substantial change in the Garfield prosecutor. Is that something that we reimburse Garfield for?
Garfield prosecutor, I think that's...
Without speaking to Angie directly, I'd say because the 2019 actual expenses were almost 7,000. I think that number was just rounded up to 10. But if Angie were the mayor, knew more and knew that line might not approach that, the finance department surely amenable to amending it to whatever the appropriate number should be.
Yeah, the case is.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, now we'll move on to page 14. I guess the general government will be page 14 and part of page 15 also. So, Vern, I'll give this to you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. They're all individual line items there. They're kind of self-explanatory as to what they are for. You do see the wages in 2020 and for 2021 are significantly higher than what they were in the past, but that's the new position that was added, the communications director. So that's the reason on the wage line and everything else. The mayor, myself, Maggie were available here to answer individual questions that anybody might have on any of the individual lines.
Well, Well, you notice the how the fuel cost has lowered over the last few years.
Yes. Gasoline fuel.
Even the electric bill has come down quite a bit.
Natural gas is obviously, and electric too, for that matter, right?
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that 2021 will be consistent with that. I don't see any major changes. And just when I say that, gas price will double.
Well, if you think they stop, if they stop fracking and put the, I guess the, on the new Green Deal, I think that would affect that a little bit.
And that would have an impact.
Yeah.
Now that I look at this, and we've had a tiny little bit of chance to peruse a little more, I'm going to dive down a little bit more into that property tax. We're at almost $30,000 this year, and I see we put $40,000 in, reflecting some property acquisitions. But I believe the Sardi property that the city purchased on Brexville Road will be able to make that a tax-exempt property. But if we close on the two Kindle properties there on the corner of Stone Road and Brexville Road, let's just say in the first quarter of 2021, we assume ownership at that point, and those buildings, because they are rented out, would not be property tax free on the city's behalf. So we would have to pay property tax on that. And I want to make sure we have enough money allocated, assuming that that purchase does get consummated.
By the way, with respect to that property, we're down to the final questions being asked, and there's an issue that came up relative to the retainers, and as soon as I have that vetted, I'll be able to present the final situation to council.
Dave, looking at, yes, Jim.
Yeah, thanks. Quick question. Mayor, you had asked that the council consider adding another assistant for you. Is that reflected in this budget?
Yes.
Okay.
I think you're under the mayor's office, I believe.
It's not in this area.
Okay, understood. Yeah, because I wasn't making the, I understand that. The math wasn't adding up, but now I see what
that is. It's in the mayor's, along with HR, and that's all under the mayor's budget.
Sorry about that. Yeah, okay, thank you.
This one, Maggie, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the front desk receptionist, the council assistant, Gail, and now Paula, the communications director.
Right. I was looking at the towards the bottom, the fourth on the promotion and civic events. What does that include in that line item? I noticed it's down to $28,000 this year, and
that was substantially home days.
Oh.
Like we could get a detail of what the 28.4 was spent on this year, given that there wasn't home day. It might have been some pre-expenses incurred during the first couple months of the year, because I don't believe the decision was made to cancel home day until early summer. So we might have been operating the first 4, 5, 6 months of this year on the assumption that we were going to go ahead with that event.
Yeah, I thought that was even earlier decision making, because usually in April I get the request, you know, as a business for donations to home days, and it never came this year. So I was thinking that maybe the decision probably was on the even before that. But I noticed how it's grown, like from 2016 it was 50,000, and 2019 it was double that, 109,000.
Yeah, keep in mind that our budget tries to reflect the next new normal. It's difficult since it's happened so quickly, but we were able to, this team that we have here has been able to, it's been proven that they've been very nimble and adapted quickly, and they've watched the bottom line through this entire process while still trying to provide some enjoyment, some relief for the for our residents.
Vice Mayor, keep in mind too that we used to have a separate home day fund that absorbed a number, probably the majority of the home day cost, but for simplification of on our end and for presentation purposes, we haven't technically eliminated the home day fund, but we've been expensing the home day expenses, at least in 2019, and what we were going to do this year out of this general fund account line instead of the home day fund. So that's why you'll see that number has gone up, but if we had the home day fund line in front of us, you would probably see a corresponding decrease in the money spent from that fund.
Okay, so I was just taking a quick look over the total in our appropriations, and it looks like, you know, the final budget approved was for this year was 26.3 million, and it looks like if we continue on the same trend, we're going to be well under that by 3 or 4 million because of, as it appears, because we're at 18.7 right now. So I would think that, you know, that continues on, we'll be about 3 or 4 million below what we budgeted.
Today's the last day of the month. We obviously won't have the books closed out tomorrow, but hopefully we can get some updated annual figures, and then we'll have the actual expenses through November, and if we have one more meeting prior to next Tuesday's council meeting, then we could even hone in on some of these numbers even closer, at least that second last column as far as the actual for year to date, and then just trying to estimate what those expenses will be for the month of December. But I think your comment is an observation is generally correct, Vice Mayor, that based on what has been expended through the first 10 months, we should be under the approved budget, that third last column, the 26.3 million. And that's always a good thing. It's an axiom in budgeting circles. I know the legislative body sometimes doesn't like to hear it, but when you're responsible for writing the checks, the axiom sometimes comes, they underestimate revenue a little bit, overestimate expenses a little bit, and that way you're covered twice. And if revenue comes in a little bit less than what you expected, then you were covered. If expenses come in a little greater than what you expected, you're covered. And if both of those dynamics occur at the same fiscal year, you're covered again to the extent that you budgeted for that. So we'll see what the numbers actually come out to for November fairly soon, and then we'll be able to update you from there.
Yeah, because I noticed if you take a look at last year, 2019, the budget was 25.1 million. We actually came in at 23.6, and that, so we were about $1.5 million under the budget last year, so, which is a good thing. And I think is our game plan, Verna, as far as we'll put this, both of these, the appropriations and the five-year plan, maybe on first reading next week and then approve it the following week, because we do have a council meeting set up for the 15th.
Definitely this. We'd like to put this on first reading for next week. That'll be your call based on how far we get today on the capital infrastructure budget. But you'll see we really only have to present to you the departmental capital. There's still some more work that needs to be done internally here with Dave on the public buildings and lands, and then with Don's office regarding all of the potential infrastructure and maintenance contracts. So those areas need to be honed in quite a bit, and we'll have to meet at least one more time prior to the 15th on just the public buildings and lands and the maintenance contracts and infrastructure. So yeah, I'm amenable to putting both of them on first reading. Doesn't mean we have to adopt the capital budget if we're not ready. I'd rather we adopt a capital budget and infrastructure budget that reflects reality than just ramming something through and then saying we got it done by the end of the year, but it's not not in a form that's really realistic.
Very good. So we'll plan on having first reading and then approval on the 50. We can fine tune any questions, and then we'll have still a good 2 weeks to get the final product out and still be done before Christmas. Debbie, did a question come in? Did I see something flash up?
Actually, Roger Lesh is raising his hand. Would you like me to let him speak?
Well, this time, because I think, are there any questions on general government from council first? I want to make sure that we're
okay.
Done with this area. Any, Kathleen?
I just have one. I've noticed that we haven't done it for a number of years, and I forgot if we got an answer on this in the past. But we used to have a category about our Meals on Wheels. Do we expense that somewhere else, or is there no cost now to the city? It's all borne by the residents. Do you know, Vern?
It doesn't go through this line. There's some nominal cost, but we're kind of passing on our cost to the extent that I know. So I could get some more answers for you as to where that's being expensed. But there, the number of people on Meals on Wheels is fairly nominal, especially when you compare it to the number of people getting the 55 plus lunches on Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah, I don't see anything under community services for Meals on Wheels.
There wasn't, I remember that.
Yeah.
Actually, it's there's a whole separate, is it a 501c then, Maggie, technically? It's run through a whole separate checking account that's really not under the City of Independence umbrella anymore. And so we have a separate account, separate checks for that account, and it's not run through the City of Independence books as we know them and are presenting them here.
So it's not part of our budget.
Correct.
Any other questions for on this category, general government, before we go to our question from the audience? Again, what is that question, Debbie? That
I'm going to let Mr. Lesh ask that question.
Okay.
I have let him speak. He needs to unmute himself.
Okay, Roger.
Okay. I have one question. We're talking about the mayor's court. If I heard it right, it was $30,000 per month, the cost for that?
Well, we spent almost $300,000 through the end of October, so just taking $300,000 divided by 10 months is an approximate average of $30,000 a month to run that department.
Is there any possibility of looking into, or is it a possibility to have Deputy Nicastro and Garfield handle all of this instead of us having our own court system here? Might be a little bit cheaper, or it might be a little bit more, but then it would be less of a load, you know, that the mayor would have to carry a mayor's court for the city.
I don't think that it would be cheaper going to Garfield, and the infrastructure to manage tickets and process tickets is still going to be a burden that we have to manage. So the fact that the clerk of courts was able to reduce her cost due to COVID and everything was commendable as far as I was concerned.
How much was it reduced by? I didn't see that or hear it.
Which expense?
The one that the mayor just said that she reduced her cost.
Well, it's mostly the wages there because one employee, who I believe was full-time, has kind of been reallocated to other departments, plural, in the city. So that full-time wage amount has come down pretty significantly in this proposed budget.
Is there any chance of receiving the budget that you're looking at and so forth, you know?
It'll be public. It'll actually be public near future. So, yes, absolutely.
Well, then it's a done deal. I mean,
no,
it's nice to know what news are talking about, you know, and to relate to. But if you don't, if I can't, as I understand, thank you for answering the other questions.
Oh, we can definitely provide that.
Yeah, it appears that the mayor's road is going to come under budget this year because of COVID and everything, but next year it'll be 50,000 less. I think probably, Mayor, and you could probably answer, it's probably more efficient that we handle all the you know, the fines and all those things, as opposed to having Garfield Heights handle it and waiting for it to be processed and return to our city.
That's correct. That's just one element that lends itself to having our own court because of the size of our court.
And is there, you know, of any city suburb that does not have a mayor's court, Greg?
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah,
not for those that are eligible to have one.
I think if you even look beyond the dollars of the economics of the court, you have to look at the service that it provides. And anybody that's worked with the mayor or Angie, you know the level of service that's provided to members of this community when there's a situation that occurs that they do end up in mayor's court. And I've witnessed it firsthand in just being around as long as I have, that the goal with our mayor's court is not to be punitive, but it's to help people. Mayor's fond of saying, even people that come in with just a basic speeding ticket, oftentimes there's a reason that they were speeding beyond just being late, that there's some underlying issues going on. And if we just had a big municipal court handling our entire court system here, I think that personal touch would be lost, where this mayor and the clerk of courts are able to really help people on a personal level and get their lives back together and use the court as a rehabilitation mechanism and not just a revenue generating dollars and cents budget line. So there's a lot more that goes in the courts than just the dollars.
And Vern, I can reiterate that. I mean, I've got experience with Seven Hills and Brecksville, Mayor's Court, a few others. And you're right, the personal touch, the fact either have the mayor actually or magistrate, it's much more personal. You come away from that case a learning experience, and people usually never repeat that same problem again, or at least they get help for their problem. So that wouldn't occur in Garfield Heights Court. You're in there with a massive number of people, and it's not personal at all. And not to take anything away from the guard, they have more important litigation to get to and everything. So it does serve a wonderful purpose. And Angie, in conjunction with the mayors that we've had here, all three mayors I've been experienced with, have all done a great job in trying to show compassion to the community. I think Kathleen and then Jim, I think, do you have a question, Jim? Kathleen?
I just was going to, before Vern started speaking, that was exactly what I was going to say. Over the years, both when I worked for the city and even now, when Angie does communicate through our Community Services Committee on other issues, school issues, frequently she will address how things could be used maybe with folks they see in the court from an educational standpoint, from a resource standpoint, that again, I think because we are smaller than a larger municipal court would be, she and the mayor can afford that, and they do. And it, again, not only helps our residents, but others. And I believe even too, at some points in time, maybe programming has developed out of that, that she has seen the need for, identified that, and then taken it a step further. So I think it's very valuable.
Thank you, Kathleen. Any other comments?
Yeah, absolutely. 25 and Live evolved from that. It's all a result of the court. So we try. We do the best we can.
Well, I think if there's no other questions, I believe then we're finished with the review of the appropriations, Vern.
Yes, we'll put something together for the packet this weekend as far as an attachment to legislation, and we'll put it on first reading, and if we're committed to meeting on Tuesday the 15th, no need to adopt it on the 8th then.
And if you can, whatever changes that are made per our discussion, I think if you can point them out like you did this last time about the police pension, you know, the economic development, point that out to us so we can, you know, check our notes. I think I have 3 or 4 versions of the appropriation. I want to make sure that I can see the change and everything made too, as well as council on that. So
maybe we should start numbering them, because just internally I labeled that first version 1.0, the last version 1.1, and then the version we were had in front of us today 1.2. So that's my internal tracking system to make sure that I'm speaking from the correct version.
And mine has plus signs after it. If you could tell us on the 15th, I know we have the public hearing. Were we looking at this before or after that, please?
This will be voted on, so it'll be part of the agenda.
Because this will be a special council meeting, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So right at that time? Okay.
And I think what you can do also, Vern, is it's, I think, not the point, but John used to always put the date, I think, at the bottom, the date of each version, the 5-year plan. And that gives us an idea. The most recent date is what we keep, and the others we can, you know, dispose of.
Yeah, that's pretty easy with a control shift, semicolon, yeah, insert the date on these. So, yeah, that's a good addition.
Very good. Well, then we should move on then to the 5-year capital improvement plan. And I think you provide us again on Friday with the most recent version.
Correct. And it's a shortened version. I'll use that word because you could see highlighted in yellow. Hopefully it came out in color. The departments that are complete, the building through technical services department. And as we talked a few minutes ago, there's still some more work that Mayor and I need to do with Dave regarding publicly owned buildings and land, and then with Don's office, who is responsible for everything at the bottom third of the page, the maintenance contracts, streets, TIP projects, and other engineering, and that's the lion's share of the annual capital improvement plan. And there were a couple of years there that they were showing 22, 23, 25 million dollars total for capital and infrastructure, and unless council desired to eat into cash on hand and or borrow, I just felt that those were vastly unrealistic numbers in that plan. So again, the plan that we adopt either on the 15th or subsequent to that, I'd like it to be a lot closer to reality. It'll be better to be able to utilize going forward in 2021 beyond if it's realistic versus if it's just a wish list.
Because we've had a number of things on this five, going back years and years on the 5-year plan that have never seen the light of day or is kind of like on our wish list. So it, I guess in a way it's not bad that we have it there, so this way we don't forget it as a possibility in the future, but I can see it. We should be a little more realistic in the proposals that we have. So I'm looking at it's a 13-page, or is 13 pages to what you had sent us?
That is correct, 13 pages.
And the first page being a summary page.
Correct.
So everything in yellow, is pretty much has been completed. Is that fine?
Yeah, that's open game now. I think hopefully, what was it now? 4:17, if we're going to 5 or 5:30, that we could get through the parts highlighted in yellow, the departments, take them department by department, just as we did with the operating budget. You've got the mayor online, you've got myself and Maggie here on the finance department, and
those are department heads.
Directors.
Pardon? Yeah, I see our directors are here. Council, is 5:30 realistic with your time? That sound good? Very good. Then we'll dig right into it, and we'll start right with page 2, which building department has the vehicles. We had an amount for $30,000. It says 2024. Is that $30,000 that we have a open PO for that amount already?
It's both. We have the PO that was written this year for $30,000, but the projection is by 2024, the building department will need another vehicle.
I see. So this $30,000, we still plan on expending it probably early next year or that, or?
It's probably a question for the mayor or Mike Giroux.
Yep, sometime next year. You know, and the challenge is, I just wonder how efficient, we're looking into how efficient it is to, when we use decommissioned police vehicles. And it just, I'm not sold on just using that anymore as a way to, sometimes it might be better off just to auction those off or trade in. But we're looking into that.
I guess it depends how much service department has to, you know, keep these vehicles safe and operating.
Right.
And the thing with building, I think we're not planning on new employees there, but we are with engineering in that. So it might be that engineering is where they might need to have a vehicle or two.
Vice yes. Mayor, this is Mike on this end.
Yes, Mike.
When I first came out to the building department, we established a four-year plan in which we'd rotate vehicles through. And this vehicle here that we have the current PO on would be the third vehicle in the department. And now that we have another inspector full-time, we would be rotating this vehicle into him. And then in 2024, we would be basically replacing one of the vehicles and rotate it out into the motor pool or what have you.
See. So would we, Vern, in preparing this document, would we move that $30,000 expenditure to 2021 to be more accurate?
If we're in 2021, if we're just buying the vehicle that's been in the queue, we have that 2020 PO that's listed under the open POs. The one under for 2024 is a vehicle to be bought in beyond 2021. So if the goal right now immediate is just, hey, we need one vehicle in the department, and that'll be acquired in the first part of 2021, we would be using that 2020 PO for it.
Well, I think to be more accurate, wouldn't it be make sense to move that to 2021? So historically, when you look back, we'll see what year we actually purchased this item.
Well, it'll get expensed in 2021, but just as you see down below, the engineering department, until we get to page 3, has nothing in the next 5 years in these specific categories because of the POs that have been created over the last number of years to fund these future improvements. And it's the same with this vehicle. If it's been, it was on the books maybe for this year, and that's why we did the PO for this year, but the purchase just didn't get consummated this year. It'll get consummated in the first part of 2021. It's perfectly fine to leave the PO as a 2020 PO, but it'll come out of 2021's capital expenditure. So on the sheet that I give council and the mayor and the public every month, the summary cash flow sheets, and let's say there's one expenditure in January, and that's $30,000 for a vehicle in the building department. On the 2021 January report, under capital expenditures, you'll see a $30,000 amount listed. And even though the PO was cut in 2020, the check was written in 2021, and that's the year it gets expensed out of. So you'll have an accurate reflection of what year it was actually acquired.
Yeah, because in the past, we never had, I think Maggie just created that open POs column within the last year or two. We never had that amount or the account number. We just had, you know, the years, and that was it.
That was a great addition that she did, because it really helps to open our eyes as to what's already set aside that we have available to use versus what we still need going forward. So kudos to Maggie for doing that. I think that added a big piece of information for all of us on this document.
Yeah, because without that, we really, you know, we would look at this and we wouldn't know that there was money set aside for that purchase and everything. So it's a really nice guide. So you don't feel that we need to move vehicles to 2021. It just just keep it the way it is.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, then there's really nothing on the on page two. All we have are open POs.
Dave, if I can.
Yes, Ken.
You do hit on an interesting issue though with these open POs, like that one for $30,000 for that vehicle. That is a purchase that the city is in the process of making. That, for lack of a better word, is a real PO. We have a real vendor. We have a real good that we are purchasing, you know, a known delivery, known or expected delivery date. That is, to my way of thinking, a very real and very legitimate PO. Now, if we move down the list just a little bit further to this additional office furniture furnishings, where we've got POs 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 5 years worth of POs with just this kind of loosey-goosey dollar amount, it would bet dollars to donuts that there's no vendor, that there's no identifiable good or service associated with that dollar amount that's under office furniture and fixtures, office and furnishings. So it's loose. This is not, you know, from a budgeting standpoint, a command and control standpoint, these vendorless purchase orders are not a best practice in my way of looking at things. At least on my background as a CPA and accountant, looking at these sorts of things, there's an apples to oranges component to some of these open POs that you really need to look at each line item to truly understand what they mean.
Yeah, there's another. I'm looking at some of these POs go back to 2013 that are here.
Well, keep in mind, Council, that this practice of putting monies aside has been in place for a number of years. We normally have it for large, major purchases, but I can tell you that it's easier when we decide to, when there's a definitive plan that you have money set aside. So there's a lot of different ways of looking at it, but the money's accounted for. So I think there's the difference between maybe public and private sector, that this money is accounted for.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it gives us the flexibility, because sometimes we have to, we go over what the PO has set aside, so we can look back at some of these other, close out some of these other POs and put them into the one that we're using. But that's why I said it's so interesting. I never realized we had all these open POs going way back until Maggie put this together for us, I think, a year ago. So it.
Yes, let me comment a little further just on this point. So I kind of, when we went through this process like January and February earlier this year, we were wrapping up last year's five-year budget. This issue just didn't feel right to me then. And at that time, I spent some time, you know, researching the accounting standards, GASB and Ohio Revised Code. Basically, the accounting standards allow a public entity like the city to set up a capital asset purchase fund. And a fund is different than these POs that we're using. So we're sort of accomplishing the same goal, but the way it gets reported is quite different. And the rules for establishing a capital asset reserve or replacement fund are different than these sort of vendorless purchase orders. That unencumbered fund balance is a meaningful number to us as policymakers and decision makers. And we've kind of muddied up the balance of the city's unencumbered fund balance by putting these sort of general reserves out there for purchases that aren't well defined, either in a specific good or service or timing. So I just, you know, point this out as like, this is a little, perhaps not the best way of doing things.
I see that. I just looking at,
I get that it's in accord with an ordinance that the city passed, but if you were to go back in time and look at the accounting standards, this was not the best way to set this up.
I was just coming, I look on page two, we have over $200,000 in outstanding POs going back at least 6 years, I believe.
If I look back at last year's capital improvements budget, it was $7.5 million is the total of outstanding purchase orders at the end of last year. When this whole thing fleshes out, I suspect it'll be a slightly smaller number, but still, it's Last year was $7.5 million of these open POs.
Well, keep in mind we were finishing up that Rockside Woods Boulevard North and that Brexville Road project north of Rockside, so there were going to be a lot of purchase orders associated with that. Second, look, the engineering department, it looks like the expansion of it and tied with the service department and this water sewer division. My take is it's kind of, the mayor's got the green light on that based on the discussion that's occurred over the last couple of finance committee meetings. So yeah, maybe his vision for that department started a number of years ago and the city started putting money away to do that. But a better way to look at it is now that it looks like that vision is going to become a reality in 2021. The money's already been set aside and encumbered and it's ready to be used. And now we don't have to scramble to find that money. The last thing I'll just add is that the mayor's correct that this practice, we could identify purchase orders here back to 2013. So 7 years now, and that well predated myself. But all I could say is, we have two sets of auditors in here every late winter, early spring, and that's the state auditors come in first, and then the private sector audit team comes in second. And so we don't just have one audit team. We have two sets of auditors, one from the private sector, one from the public sector, coming into this office every year. And I as far as I know, they've never called this out because I haven't been aware of anything we're doing incorrectly. And when I turned to my left, I never took down the whole wall of plaques and awards that this city has won in the last number of years for budgets and presentation and new CAFRs, you name it, it's up here on the wall. So I can't think we're too far off the mark with how we're doing things here.
And I think it's a perspective, and I appreciate the different perspectives, but I think it's correct in that the money's accounted for. We all know where it's at. We all know the potential uses and some flexibility, and it gives council some flexibility. So as long as it's accounted for and we meet all the audit specifications, I'm comfortable with moving forward because some of these things date back to when I was here once before. So
right. Yep.
Guilty as charged.
But just so then how we use this, looking at page two, so if they need additional office furniture or furnishings and that, we already have 35,000 in open POs, so they can go back and if they want to purchase something for $10,000, just say, well, we're going to use the 2016 02243 PO to pay for it then?
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah, and it's usually everything's vetted through the Public Buildings and Lands anyway, so we're...
Nice. Like for historical purposes, because right now, if we look at the five-year plan, that was supposed to be spent 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It'd be more logical if you had under 2021 actual expenditures. But I mean, I don't have any problem with keeping having that money set aside. It's a good practice as far as knowing that we do have funds set aside for a sudden purchase. But we have something like down at the bottom, the digital archiving of planned storage area, $100,000 in POs, and I don't think anything's been expensed in the last 5 years. Is there a need to have that there? Or
well, let me give you an example. Right now, with the changes being contemplated, obviously with council approval, we need more space, and there's a huge area of archived documents that's underutilized from my perspective. And so before we build something new, I'd rather repurpose something that's existing as an efficiency. So yeah, although it's not been used, but if I came to council and said, hey, I need $100,000 to archive these, you'd probably look at me like, would you bump your head? Whereas right now, there's $100,000 that's already been set aside, so the impact is more, it's going to be less challenging for council to accept something that's been set aside, similar to the major capital improvements. I find no fault with it. I understand as long as we pass the audits and look at anybody can see where this money is. Anybody can see where it's been appropriated.
Look at that $100,000 if we're talking about that digital archiving of the planned storage area. Unless that expenditure was going to be under $15,000, it's got to come back to council anyways.
Right.
Well, council has the crack at this when you're adopting the CIP. And then you have the second crack at it when individual legislation and purchases and projects come before you too. So I think the checks and balances are in place, and legislative body has the ultimate control as to this, and that's the way it's been presented, and it functions for us.
But you know what I like is the fact that we do have this open PO column, because in past years that would drop off. We wouldn't see that again in here, and then or we just would see the more recent 20,000 for that particular year, and then when we would come to council with a purchase, John would always tell us, "Oh, we have open POs from years ago." So now we actually see it. We don't have to ask you, Vern, where the money's coming from. We can see that there's open POs, and that's, you know, it's not new money. It's money that's been approved already. So that part of the practice, like I say, is I can trace the money a lot easier. And I think all of council can. Ken, you had a question.
So the bottom line is, go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
So I would just point out that, you know, council as the policy making body should be focused on how much are we allotting for capital improvements for 2021 in particular, but, you know, each year, each of the 5 years. When one looks at this report, you cannot answer the question, how much are we budgeting for 2021 capital expenditures? Because some of the amounts in that open PO column are going to be spent in 2021, some aren't, but some are, and then we have a 2021 column which represents our forecasted amount. So it does not give you a clear picture of what council is approving for 2021 specific capital improvements. And that's kind of my issue with the budgeting process in this, is that it's not as clear of a picture as it could be, ought to be. I kind of feel like council in 2016 approved $10,000 for office furnitures, but I'd be kind of being asked, I guess, to ratify that by this budget, but I haven't had an active participation in that process to say, let's spend $35,000 next year for office furniture and fixtures. You know, just kind of ratifying something that a previous council did. I just don't think that's a best practice.
I don't think it's that way. I think that in 2016, council figured that it was going to cost $35,000 to buy new furniture. So over the course of 5 years, we've accumulated that money of $35,000. So if we need it, now we have it to use it. I think that's how council looked at all these five-year projections and put, you know, we broke it down into, you know, increments of five. I think that's
county standards do provide for that sort of thing, but it's done in the context of a capital improvement or replacement fund, not this purchase order system that the City of Independence uses.
I guess my response would be that any amount in that open POs, there's the PO number, and next to it is the amount column. That money's already been encumbered. And any number to the right of that solid black line, 21 through 2025, are amounts that have not been encumbered, and these are new capital purchases and new infrastructure projects. And so, yeah, some of the money that's been previously encumbered will actually be spent in a subsequent fiscal year, but any money requested in 21 through 2025 are new requests that are not accounted for under that encumbered PO line.
So then, Vern, I take it then that all these categories on page two, there's nothing new for 2021, so they're just kind of...
Correct. The engineer has determined at this point that he doesn't need to ask for any more money, but looks like the $15,000 for GIS utility mounting, it looks like we're asking for...
Yes.
Yeah, we got to put that in there as a line item, $15,000 a year more. But I think this whole engineering capital plan on page two and three will come more into focus in 2021 as this creation of this water and sewer department, a combination between service department and engineering department, becomes more of a reality. And on page three, if we flip over to that page,
yeah,
about in the middle there, it says scanner plotter replacement, and there's no open PO, and there's no dollar amount. The engineering department is requesting $75,000 for that. I think they want to get that sooner rather than later.
So that should be placed under 2021 for that.
Yes.
I see. Now we have, I think three different items that we have dollar amounts shown, but we have no open POs, so I don't know where the $15,000 for the GIS utility mapping, $7,000, if that's a request, it should be made in the 2021 column. Because right now it's just sitting in a column where there's no open PO for it, so.
Vice Mayor, that $15,000 under GIS and the $7,000 under the OCE plotter attachments, they were in the five-year capital plan that was adopted in December of 2019. Those were listed as 2020 items. The POs just have not been cut for those yet, so there's no PO number attached to those yet.
Well, then I think then they should be moved over to 2021 because there's really no money set aside for it. So,
no, for us planning, understanding the money was set aside. It was encumbered in 2020.
Right.
They just have no PO number next to it. Is that correct,
Vern? It was appropriated in 2020. Yeah. We just haven't encumbered it yet.
Okay.
All right. So by the early next year, there'll be a PO for each one of these.
Yeah, the 15 and the 7, and then. Actually, the same thing with that scanner plotter. That was on the 2020 to 2024 five-year CIP that was approved. It just got inadvertently didn't get transferred over to the open PO line, but the request is there to make sure that is still in there and it's not cut out as was approved last December.
So did you say through 2024 on that, Vern?
Well, the five-year capital plan that was approved in December of 2019 by council was 2020 through 2024. So now we're updating it. It's 2020 falls off and it becomes 2021 through 2025.
I think maybe to better understand this maybe for council, is that instead of having just the five-year, we should have a 2020 column that has that money, a $15,000, so that we know that we did set aside. I guess we can look back at past spreadsheets and everything, but this way, now that you told me, it makes sense. We do have it set aside, but it gives us a better idea that we have money set aside from a previous year, a better picture, you know, of what we have there as far as. My main concern is just that we understand, that council understands that the figures we're dealing with, we're not misled in any way.
No, we have no problem, just as Maggie added those columns with the open POs. If we want to re-put on the 2020 column to show what was approved in the 2019 capital plan, we could add that column just as well.
Yeah, I think for understanding purposes, I don't know what the rest of the council feels, but gives us a better picture because now there's, you know, now we know that there's no PO, but it was set aside for 2020. Otherwise, we have to be flipping back and forth from last year's five-year capital plan to this year to check what we had on 2020.
Well, am I missing something? Is it like, so for instance, in the GIS utility mapping, the $15,000 is what was approved last year. Am I wrong on that?
Right. It's
approved. Okay. So we don't have to flip back. Maybe what we need, because I like kind of how you have the open POs, and that if that's what we're going to be accounting
for. Oh, I still want to use that.
So why don't we just, why can't we just put, I recognize that you don't have the last digits, the last five digits, but you could put 2020 there. So that will be our placeholder for us, because I know visually
what right,
the vice mayor is saying, and that way we'll
have
all
that makes sense.
Go ahead, but you just say it.
Kathleen, you're right.
On the next version, when I actually get a chance to do all these other extra POs that we haven't had time to do yet, there will be the 2020 on there. So it's just going to show you exactly, it's still going to have the 2020 on there. You don't need a separate column. It's just going to be confusing.
That
way it's all the open POs as of 2021. That shows you all the prior year POs that are open for all those projects.
Oh, that's easier for me to understand when it's together.
We just have to get the POs done, that's all.
Right.
That's why for our future, then we'll just put, like Kathleen suggests, 2020-, and then we know that there's going to be a PO at the end of the year.
I tried to catch everything, but, you know.
Oh, no, you've done a great job, as I say.
One last mark, Maggie.
The scanner replacement line item where does that, did it show up in 2020 then?
Correct. So we'll amend that when we present the next version of the capital plan, we'll make sure that 15,000 line on the GIS, the 7,000 under the plotter, and the 75,000 for the scanner plotter replacement are all highlighted, so you can see that that's something different from the existing version that you have today, so it's clear.
Very good. That's, I'm just looking for clarity, and again, it's a work in progress, because I think we're getting better and better at doing these five-year spreadsheets.
Just another note, the reason that a lot of those weren't done, especially in engineering, is because there were so many in engineering with a lot of open POs. We wanted to talk to Don and make sure he even needed the 2020s still, because he still had so many open POs from prior years on a lot of these different projects. So we talked to him and he does want them, so we just have to put them in. We still have the money to do it, but we just haven't done the actual PO yet.
And then just to give us the procedure, Maggie, you're going to say that one of the department heads comes with a proposal, needs $50,000, but there hadn't been anything set aside. In the past, didn't you look at open POs from 3-4 years ago and try to put the money together?
Yes, if we can, but if we don't have extra money in the 410, as far as the capital item, then once the project is approved, Vern would tell you that we're going to open up another PO out of the capital plan. Because there's still, we always have a little bit extra money in the 410. It's not like we just budget exactly to what this
I gotcha.
Plan is. This is just a plan that kind of gives us an amount to set aside for items that the directors want to save up for starting in 2021 and forward. So
we'll incorporate the 2020 POs, or at least we'll have a 2020-, as a point of clarification on those items that all add up. We'll re-add the scanner plotter, the 75 with the 2020-, PO. And then 2021 is what we're focusing on. There's 15,000 for the GIS, 10,000 for the sewer equipment, and 25,000 for vehicles. On page 3, there was nothing on page 2, and then Vice Mayor, that makes sense. We can just go from there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like I say, clarity is what I'm looking for, Mayor. Not to challenging any of the figures, not just to make it easier for us to comprehend and going forward. There, it's like I say, it's I think a big improvement over the past. Was made with these open POs gives us a better idea of what we're working with. So no, that sounds like a great idea. So I think we got everything up through page 3. Any questions from the committee or council on page 3? So we'll move to page 4, which is IT.
And there you go. You see the last 30,000 in that column has a 2020-. We're on the right track.
Very good. Yeah, that makes it understandable for us, because with no open PO, you don't know what year they came from or what, but now it perfectly makes sense. So on page 4, there's it looks like 15,000 for laptops and PCs and 40,000 for first on IT.
Right.
Yeah. And then $25,000 for the servers and to add on to the $138,696 that we already have.
And as many of you know in business, you never have enough for IT.
That's correct, yeah, yeah. You always anticipate more expenditure as IT gets more involved. Jim.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. Mayor, I was just curious on the IT part, and I see we were talking about servers. Is any of the funds that we're allocating for enhanced server rooms to be able to store the servers, or is that just for the physical structure hardware?
You know, I don't have the answer, Jim. I'll find out, though. I don't believe it's for additional room, but again, I don't know.
We may need that based on the amount that we're adding. That's why I asked. So, okay.
Right, you know, because I haven't looked at that since I got back, quite frankly, but it's a very good question, a good point to look into. We'll do that.
Please do. Thanks.
Mayor, in a similar vein, some constituents have told me that signing up for the senior, the 55 and over lunches on the city website is a very arduous and difficult process because of the way our website is set up to handle credit card processing. Is there money in this budget to fix that? I'm sure it's an IT security thing, but
yes,
that particular issue has been raised by constituents as being a pain point for our residents. So is there a way
No, and I appreciate that comment, and anytime there's anything that comes up, just send me a text or an email or something, and I'll make sure we look into it. But your point's well taken. It's cumbersome, to say the least. Our communication group, we're looking at how we can address that issue and all the different applications that allow residents to get into programs more easily. So it's something that is on our radar screen.
Any other questions regarding page 4?
But thanks for bringing that to my attention. I appreciate it.
Seeing none, we're ready to move on to page 5.
And you can see that Community Services is also not proposing any new capital purchases just for their particular department. Historically, had been for various type of vehicles, and we've got the $223,000 already encumbered from prior POs for vehicles that, depending on the mayor and council, your decision on repurposing that money. And there's some money for some on-site, on-campus, smaller vehicles labeled as golf carts shared with the rec department. Again, already a 2019 and a 2020 PO for those purchases.
No, and I would defer, but I would again appeal to Councilman Trakas, because he's helped us with a grant last year that would offset some of that cost for the Civic Center kitchen renovations and upgrades. So we haven't given up hope, but with COVID, it just put everything in a tailspin. And Jim, if there's any way of resurrecting that, understanding the states the state of Ohio is in a state of flux, I would appreciate it. But that's the purpose. That's really what we're intending to use it for.
Understood. Yeah, the capital improvements budget, Mayor, of the state of Ohio will come out probably this week, so we'll find out. I don't think we're going to be in the game on that because they're trying to focus it on construction projects and food and arts projects to help struggling arts institutions as well. But I'll keep monitoring it.
Please do. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure.
I mean, the worst case scenario is we'll have to do this in-house rather than look for grant money.
Now, Mayor, I see that we do have about $271,000 set aside for bus funds and golf carts. We talked about maybe doing some of those security measures at the Civic Center this coming year, being the fact that we're still in this COVID protocol. We have an opportunity to do some of these things without too much hassle to the public. Could some of this money be used to shift towards that project for security?
Yeah, it's the same chicken and egg situation. We could do these renovations to the kitchen with little disruption to the needs of our programming, as well as you'll see for the locker rooms too, because of the limited use of the facility. It's the time to look at some of these areas that we can upgrade with little disruption of programming and service. But yeah, if what it'll be these or it'll be security or some upgrade, yes.
I see. I think Vern, you said that later on we're going to get some input from publicly owned lands and buildings and everything. And I thought of that probably being the security area, Chris. I think some of the recommendation that GPD made, and I was just looking at, do we put all new funds for 2021 set aside, or do we use some of this that's been set aside for bus funds and that?
I think we already have some money set aside for the security, and yes, you're exactly correct. It's in that publicly owned buildings category. So when the mayor and technical services director Schneiderburn are able to lock down the publicly owned buildings and lands a little more, working with Councilperson Walchanowicz's committee, we'll be able to present that. Hopefully we have that ready for next week sometime and have a second look at this document.
Very good. Any questions from council on page 5? We'll move on to page 6. I think Steve is with us from Steve Rigo from the fire department. I don't know, Vern, if you want to go over that or if Steve does.
Tell you, I've always given Chief the utmost compliments when it comes to either the operating budget or the capital budget, because he's dialed in more than anybody on making sure he's got enough money put away so that when it comes time to replace one of his big ticket items, whether it's a vehicle or any of the equipment they use in the department, that the money is there. So Chief, if you want to give a 10,000 overview and we could drill down from there as questions come.
Okay, I guess on the 5-year, I mean, I'm one of those departments that definitely looks far ahead as far as large purchases that we try to make. We have a lot of programs that we offer. Our AED program right now, we have over 30 AEDs out in the community that are growing older. So if you look on the first item on there, replacement of AEDs, we're trying to phase those in over the next several years. Unfortunately, they have grown in expense, and they are pretty costly. But with that, there are improvements in technology and so forth. So what we're looking for there is a replacement of older units as we move forward. We also try to phase in the replacement of ambulances and engines and also our ladder truck. So those are scheduled out over many years. I try to break those up to keep the amounts that we have to encumber each year a little bit lower and manageable than just coming up and asking for, you know, $750,000 for a fire truck, or maybe $1.5 million for a ladder truck. So these are projects that span, could be as much as a decade in saving. And again, those assets do last a lot longer too. They last, in a frontline approach with our engines, they last about 10 to 12 years. So that's how we rotate them through before we replace them after about 20 to 25 years. Other items such as ambulance cots, which are very expensive. We have load systems within the ambulances, and we also have cots that have automatic lift systems on there that tend to be a little bit more expensive. So we try to budget out the replacement of those and try to maximize the time that we have them and the age that we have them before they're replaced. Same thing goes for our heart monitors. Those two, the technology hasn't changed too much, so we kind of push that back a little bit. But in the coming days, we see a lot of technological changes in the next several years that they'll improve those devices as well, and we're looking to replace those. I also added in here this year radio replacement, portable radios. That's an item that could be very costly down the road 10 years from now. So I was looking at trying to save some funds in this next 5-year period to start saving for those. And then also the replacement of various pull cars that we have, SUVs, that are response vehicles. Much like the building department, we try to phase those in, and we use them for quite a while. And we'll probably be using them for upwards to 8 to 10 years before we replace them. And that's typically how we accumulate time on those vehicles. We replace our
But if you'd like to interrupt me at any time, if you have a question on these things, I'm just kind of moving through them. But fire gear replacement is replaced every 5 years. We buy new gear for personnel with a 10-year completely taken out of service period. So a set of gear will last 10 years. The reason for two sets of gear, it's just it's very convenient to have when we have a fire and the gear is taken out of service for a period of time for cleaning. We have a second set to back up for that person. Also, we have SCBAs on here as a possible replacement down the road. Again, some of that items like that, SCBAs, is something we could try to write a grant for, but it's hard telling whether we'll be successful in that. So at the same time, I'd like to save and make sure that we have those funds available to replace those items, which are very expensive.
Very good, Steve. Any questions for Chief Riga? And I think going back to when we established these five-year capital plans, I think it was the fire department really that was the pioneer in that, Chief Nelson. You know, we're going back 10, 15 years now. But that, I think the initial five-year capital plan, we really, that was the precipitant, and that's where we really got the impetus to get moving on that, and everything else has fallen into line. So it's, Chief, you've done a tremendous job keeping up the tradition that the fire department's been kind of a leader in the five-year and in the planning stage like that.
Well, thank you. I know it has expanded quite a bit, but just trying to keep things in front of me as far as knowing the expenses that are coming up and not to catch council off guard by large purchases.
You've done a tremendous job. All of the pages you've covered in a short period of time through page 8, 6 through 8, so it really summarizes that you have things well in hand and in the proper years and everything too. So any questions from council for Steve? We appreciate everything, Steve, you've done, and I think there's no questions because it's easy to follow what is on the spreadsheet here as far as what your years that you're setting money aside, what's been set aside, and I believe even your 2020 POs have been accounted for, it looks like, on this form. So great job.
Yeah, that is correct. You know, the thing to keep in mind, this is a very dynamic, I use this as a dynamic stats sheet because like for instance our ladder truck, we're going to be going to Pierce pretty soon to take delivery of our new engine that's been being refurbished all year, but we're going to sit down and discuss with them possible refurbishment of our ladder truck that could come with significant savings to council, and then, you know, thereby change this sheet quite a bit if we go that route, you know, from what we were planning as a replacement. So, you know, we always start planning in one direction and then we see how we could take advantage of opportunities to maybe save money, you know, throughout that process. And it could change when you're, you know, forecasting out 5 years or more.
Sure, sure. And that really, you know, I guess it's always been a savings for us because those are the big ticket items, and the savings we've had has helped us in other areas of the budget. So
that's why we always say that figuratively these documents, whether it's the capital plan or the operating budget, are done in pencil figuratively because they're always subject to amendment and change, and we do that.
Oh, very good. Thank you, Steve. No other questions. We'll move on then to page 9 in the police department. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. I don't know if the other chief is on now too.
No.
Looking to see if he's on my. No. I don't believe he's on my screen here.
He is not on.
He's not on. I didn't think so.
Outside of his vehicles down there is last category. Everything else is fairly nominal. The bulletproof vest, $8,000 a year. Handguns, $4,000 a year. Miscellaneous equipment, $5,000. Some range refurbishing, $2,500. So it's not a big dollar amount. It's mostly just the vehicles and equipment that he's getting back in the rotation of making sure that we're replacing the oldest vehicles with the new vehicles over the next 4 years.
Hey, you're correct, Brent. I think for the police department, it's basically their vehicle inventory and everything. That's their primary big ticket item that's on the five-year plan.
Correct. And you see Maggie put on the bottom there that we use any number of funds available to fund these purchases. That's just more of a technical detail, but there's more than just the 410 capital improvement fund, because there's a federal forfeiture fund and some of the other safety force related funds. But you can see the dollar amount for police department for the next 4 years are in that mid 200s range, from 230 to 245,000. So it's fairly consistent for the next 4 years.
Mike, we suspended, we didn't buy vehicles this year, so that's why he wants them next, this coming year.
Yeah, I believe, Mayor, that this was the first year for the new police vehicle, so he didn't want to get the first year model because of the problems that could possibly be created.
That's correct.
Any questions of the mayor or of Vern in the regarding page 9, the police department? I believe now we can move on to recreation. Tom, you've been with us the whole way and everything. So, Vern, you want Tom to comment on page 10?
Sure, you could do the same thing as Chief Riga, just kind of highlight some of the requests. Not huge dollar amounts, but he's got a number of them there, and he's got them identified by year. And Tom's taking a pretty comprehensive approach to his capital budget, too.
Yeah, Tom, you've done a great job just like Chief Riga and Chief Nelson before him, and getting this five-year plan together and everything. So I'll, without further ado, I'll let you speak.
Thanks, everyone. You can hear me, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. Just going down the line here, the first thing, the cargo van, I know, Maggie, there's a 2020 PO02954. I think that's actually a mistake. That's actually a fire.
That should not be there. You're right. That was
Okay. So that's, we added that over for 2024, because right now we took over the community service old van and we're using that, and that should last us to 2024. The copier's been in there, the dog park fencing and accessories. I mean, this is something that's not going away. I just a couple weeks back got another phone call from a person with requesting a dog park and wondering why we can't keep our fields open for dogs. So that's another need that's not going away.
If I may, Tom, support you on that. That's something that we will bring up at Public Buildings and Lands again, but we're getting closer to finalizing the need and the opportunity. So we'll be able to do that at Public Buildings and Lands.
Exercise equipment, that's always, we've always had that in there. That's for replacing all of our equipment upstairs in the upstairs of the Civic Center. The floor scrubber has been on, it's been planned for 5 years, so that's coming up next year. We have our park maintenance equipment that we have a 72-inch zero turn right on mower that's getting over 10 years old. It has over 3,000 hours on it. That's going to be replaced in 2023. That's been on this five-year capital for a while. We added to replace our 60-inch mower in 2025. We have a 2012 Kubota that we want to replace in 2025 also. And then this year we're getting the F-350, which we should take delivery on it in February of next year. And then the last thing on this, our budget, would be the Toro Polar Track, which is actually a combination summer, it's a 72-inch grounds mower that we use for our all of our baseball and soccer fields. And in the wintertime, it converts to a cabbed plow unit for all of our sidewalks around the park. And it's also a backup for Leon if he ever has issues at the service department.
You take delivery of that by tomorrow morning?
Yeah, no, we'll be needing it, that's for sure. And that should do it. If anybody's got any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
So your big items next year, Tom, is going to be that Toro Kohler track as well as the floor scrubber.
I guess, Tom, this isn't so much a question for you as it is for the finance director, but the thought occurs to me, Vern, that the operating budget shows like the history for 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. Do you have reports like this that show the annual history by department, maybe not by item, but just how much do we typically spend in the rec department for permanent improvements over the last 3 or 5 years? Do you have that sort of information available?
Definitely the totals. We could put some time into breaking it down by department, maybe like you said, not line item, excuse me, so that you could see the trend, excuse me, similar to the operating budget.
I'd kind of like to see that, you know the history as well as the future. Again, not to pull up the process for that, but you know, if you could perhaps build that into your to-do list things. I'd certainly like to see it, and I don't know whether if I'm alone, well then I'm alone and maybe don't bother, but perhaps there's other council members who might be interested in seeing the same thing. Anyone?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Ken saying that the same thing. It's always to get a historical perspective would be a good thing for us to see.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Ken.
I agree as well.
I would agree.
Very good. Any questions for Tom regarding 2021 and beyond? So, Tom, you haven't gotten, because I know when, this goes way back when Ed was head of the rec department too, but the equipment for 2020 hasn't been replaced, or is it already ordered and everything, or?
No, we're actually putting away this 2020 and 21 to do a replacement of the Nautilus equipment that's upstairs. So that's why we've been, and that's going to be a little bit more than a $50,000 outfall. So that's what's going to go. Normally we replace the aerobic style equipment like the treadmills, the cross trainers and those. But these next 2 years, we're going to get a new Nautilus set up in the main weight room itself.
I see. Very good. Any questions for Tom?
Tom, the new Nautilus equipment, is it, are there new safety components of that, or is it the same material?
Oh, absolutely. It's all, next generation safety as well as for the operator and maintenance also. So.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Tom, thank you very much for your time and explanation.
Thank you.
We'll move on now to page 11, which is the service department. And Leon magically appears on my screen. So I guess, Bert, we'll let Leon describe some of his requests here.
Yeah, he's got a comprehensive list too. So his goes from page 11 to page 12, but it's very important equipment, and just like tonight, when we start seeing the snow, we'll be glad that we take this capital budget seriously, and the mayor facilitates each of these departments having the necessary iron that they need to do the jobs that they need to do.
Leon, you've done a great job keeping us posted with these requests and what they're used for, so I will let you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor. So, just for 2021, one of the things that we're looking at is to replace one of our chippers. We have two chippers right now, and they're reaching their end of life. We've had them for quite some time, and I think it's time that we're going to replace one. We pushed some of these purchases off earlier, and I think it's time now to replace one of these chippers. The other thing is we have a mini excavator. We have one mini excavator that we use currently in the cemetery. We also use it to supplement our sewer, the sewer work that we do, and some of the road work that we do. It'd be nice to, replace that mini excavator with something a little bit more up to date and a little bit more functional. The mini excavator we have is about 15 years old. going down, I have 25,000 for miscellaneous equipment. We started last year encumbering money for a new combination sewer vac, jetter, and vac truck. This year, we just like to continue the plan with encumbering another $160,000 for that piece of equipment, which we'll try to purchase next year in 2022. The one change that we're looking at for this year that we didn't have on last year is that we have a sewer camera truck. It's actually a 1998 Freightliner. It's an old ambulance. We've had it for quite some time. The equipment is, when we bought it, it's good equipment. However, the vehicle is getting older, and the equipment that we have a ladder launch camera that we bought some time ago, and the ladder launch camera hasn't worked up to our expectations. So we're looking to replace the Freightliner truck along with updating the equipment with the new truck for this upcoming year. We had a PO that's a little bit further down, generated for a liftgate tailgate truck, the 2008 truck we were supposed to look at getting for this year. I think it was it's truck number 227. 2000 dump by the liftgate. We're going to try to push that money towards this camera truck and then push that purchase off a couple of years. I think the sewer camera truck is a lot more important, and I think with the amount of 550s that we have, I think we'll be able to manage for a couple more years by doing that.
Is that the one you have 78,000 set aside?
Yeah, 78,000. Yeah. So it would be.
I see.
Adding that to the 165 would be total for a camera truck.
I see.
And it's pretty technical equipment, so it's amazing how you don't think that the camera truck, especially the camera that you're putting in the sewer, costs as much as it does, but they're pretty expensive. The other thing is we need is a sewer box truck. Again, that we think that takes priority. The box truck that we have is currently it's just getting old, and I think it's just time to upgrade it. Something that we use on a regular basis. We're using it every day, and it's kind of wearing out at this point. So, those are big ticket items that we're looking to do for 2021.
Leon, so you're going to take this? You want to take the 70? Leon?
Yes.
You want to take the 78,000 and the 165 from 2021 to replace the camera truck?
Okay. Yes.
So you have, would $243,000 be enough?
Excuse me?
Will $243,000 be enough?
Yes, it should be enough. We've already gotten some estimates, and it should be plenty.
Okay, good.
Any other questions for Leon?
Yeah, one thing I think, Councilor, Leon, tell him, would you please explain to Council the timetable on our new trucks?
Okay. For the snow equipment?
Yeah, the five trucks that we ordered last year.
So currently three are completed. The fourth one will be completed and delivered tomorrow. They're not being delivered to the city, though. They're being delivered to Freightliner. When these trucks came from the factory, they went straight to Henderson. Henderson did all the upfitting. The dealership has to do the PDI on these vehicles. They're expecting to get delivery of two of them on possibly three of them on Wednesday, with the fourth one coming in on Thursday. And then the last truck, right now they're anticipating delivery on the last truck between the week of the 14th in December. So
you could hold off on Wednesday, Leon. You could don't have to have them delivered on Wednesday. You can wait till the end of the week.
We were hoping that we'd be able to get them today, but it's amazing how brand new vehicles that were manufactured 4 months ago already have a recall or two on them. So I just think that's typical with a lot of these large vehicles. So I think they said they want to make sure that everything's right, and they'll get them back to us. And the other thing is, I want to make sure that we have the proper training. We have Henderson's going to come in, and Freightliner's going to come in and have us do a comprehensive training between for the chassis and on the body. Because this is state-of-the-art equipment. It's a lot different than stuff that we're already the equipment that we're already utilizing. So I think it's going to be in the long run, it's going to be good. I wish we didn't have this COVID situation. We would have been able to get these things a little bit sooner. We're dealing with, these are the times we're dealing with, and, that we'll get them later on this week.
Well, you need to make sure that everyone's properly trained and utilizing the equipment, and these are all going to be GPS. We're going to be able to track where they're at, how they're doing, how much salt's being spread. They're going to be much more sophisticated, so it's going to take a little time to make sure that they're fully functional. Leon, would you also, again, to thank council for allowing us to buy those leaf vacs and replace the in lieu of the chipper. They not only serve their purpose, but I'm happy to report that our service department, some outside support, did a phenomenal job of getting our leaf program exemplary.
This chair was a great year for the leaves. I mean, they all came down pretty quickly, and the equipment that we bought really helped out and facilitated us picking them up a lot quicker. And the equipment did well. I mean, it ran well. Little small minor glitches in the beginning with just the trailer hookups, but once we got that all figured out, everything ran pretty flawlessly.
So we're going to be in a position to be able to do those swaps next year, so that one truck's going to the dump, the other truck's being continued, so the equipment's constantly being utilized. So thank you for your support and that allowing us to have those leaf vac. I think the residents were very much impressed, and the program really worked efficiently. So thank you.
Thank you.
And this, Leanne, with the approaching storm and everything else, you probably won't be picking up any leaves after this storm hits us, as far as I go. I know last year you were picking up leaves until January.
We did pick up leaves into January. There are still a few small piles out there. We did have two trucks out there today trying to get up as much as we could. However, there are still some piles out there. So I'm pretty sure that by the end of the week, if some of the snow melts, we'll be out there picking them up, just trying to wrap this whole thing up and get it done.
I gave you all this credit, I thought.
No, I know, but it's when residents are putting them out, as we're picking them up, it's still tough.
Okay, thanks.
It's not too late. It's only 5:20.
Yeah. Oh, we got to have these trucks ready for the snow.
Well, that's right. They got to be transitioned. Okay.
Thank you, Leon. 2 hours. Snow's going to fly at 7. Any questions for Leon or for Vern or the mayor? Jim.
Thanks, Dave. Leon, just curious on the large ticket items that we just went over, are any of those specific for the new program that you'd like to put together with the kind of working with the engineering department?
I think it's just updating some of the current equipment that we have, and adding that second combination back truck, that is a big ticket item for next year that we'll add in, but updating our sewer box truck and then updating our camera truck. Yes, that will be used for that, that sewer, that sewer division, that we'll do with the engineering department. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Leon.
Nice and comprehensive, Leon. Nice.
Very good. And I guess, page 13, Vern just has a miscellaneous equipment for tech services, but
it'll be in.
It has the van on there,
2021,
too.
2021, that's it. Which may or may not even, we'll check with him when we're firming up the publicly owned buildings and lands, but that $28,000 was in this version. We'll see if it will make it into the final version.
Very good. So we have the publicly owned buildings and publicly owned land, and we have also the different contract projects from the engineering department. When do you expect that part of the five-year plan would be ready?
Well, look, if tomorrow is the first, we have economic growth. Wednesday, we've got utilities and streets. We have a council meeting next Tuesday, the 8th. If you'd like to try to get together a week from today, Monday afternoon again online, we could we could shoot to have you something by Friday for a Monday discussion.
We have a community services meeting scheduled on Monday the 7th at 4:30.
Oh. At what, 4:30?
Yes.
Okay.
We could, if it's okay with everyone's schedule, I mean, maybe 3:30 we could do our meeting and then still save room for the finance if you'd like.
That'd be great if everybody's accommodate everybody.
I mean, the two council persons here, does that bother your schedule? No, Jim? Okay. All right, so then, well, and Tom, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
How does that look for you at 3:30 instead of 4:30?
That's fine.
All right, so we're at 3:30, and then what, finance just immediately following community services?
That'd be fine. This way, when we do have the legislation on the 8th for first reading, at least it'd be more complete. But we're not going to take action on it, of course, until the following week. So if it meets council's time frame and schedule everything, we can do that and schedule community services and finance next Monday.
It's been a busy couple months, but it's well worth it.
Well, Dev, I think, Vernon, especially last year with the flux that we had with finance and everything, this year it's been a good learning experience for all of us in going through the whole program. I found it very interesting. I hope council found it very, that we learned a lot this year and got back to getting back on a more reasonable time frame to get these things approved and have a better understanding of them.
Perfect.
Very good. So I guess that I think we're well within the time frame of about 5:30. Are we good? 5:24. So I think what our plan is then to pick up next Monday where we left off here with the 5-year plan. And again, Vern, just saying, Jim, Vern, hopefully whatever changes that are made to the appropriations or budget for next year, you can let us know, make those adjustments so we have a up-to-date list. So, Jim, you had a question?
Yeah, just more of a comment, really. I'm just hoping that a subsequent meeting, perhaps even public buildings and lands for Councilperson Bolchanowicz, we could talk in a little bit more detail about this thought about, instead of using our police vehicles and reusing some of our other vehicles, buying new. That's been something that we've kind of gone back and forth on, but this city has a lot of vehicles, and anything we could do to kind of wear out the vehicles that we have, we don't get much money for them anyway, but I'd just like to have that conversation a little bit more robustly rather than just in the capital budget.
We need to figure out if there's anything that needs to be talked about before that December 15th special council meeting. So Debbie, do you remember what day you and I had mentioned this morning?
The 15th, you've said.
Prior
to the public hearing at 5:30, you had said.
Does that work for you prior to that public hearing on the 15th?
Yes.
Okay, then we'll plan on December 15th. You want to do 3:30 for that?
That's fine with me.
Okay.
Does that work for you, Tom and Jim?
It would.
Okay.
So public lands and buildings, Chris, on the 15th at 3:30?
Correct.
Very good.
We could, but they probably won't.
Very good. Well, without further ado, I think anybody else has, for the better good of the city and council, any other comments or questions? Debbie, will you, matter of fact, take a motion to adjourn.
So move. Oh, I'm not on that committee.
So move.
Okay.
Tom.
I can
all go. Favor? Aye. Very good. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
For your time. Stay safe, especially now with the snowstorm. And we will get together tomorrow for Ken's meeting at, 1:30, Ken?
1:00.
1:00.
Is that
one o'clock.
Do you have a time frame on that meeting? How long do you think it would be?
About the branding and wayfinding proposals, so it could be a fairly lengthy discussion. I know I have a hard stop at 3 p.m. The meeting may go on longer, but I will be leaving at 3 p.m.
Okay.
Just watch from your truck as you're plowing, Chris.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you, everyone. Everyone have a great evening, and we will see you tomorrow, 1 o'clock, if you're available.
Okay. Thank you, Council. Thank you for all your help.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Vern.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Vice Mayor.
Take care now.
Council. Thank you.
You're welcome. Be safe.
Bye now.